together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
All right.
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, you're listening to Thrive, and I'm your host, Brad Digney, and I've got my wife by my side.
The way I like to be, right?
Yeah.
By his side.
So we're going to dig in some more to communication, because communication is at the very heart of a healthy marriage. It's really at the very heart of any healthy relationship. And I don't want you to lose sight of the fact this is tied back to our Creator God.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't want to be fast and loose with words, and you don't want to take it for granted. This is what sets us apart from the rest of creation. I mean, dogs can bark, cats can meow, other animals make certain sounds. We're the only ones that use words. And guess what? He said he created us in his image, which means he gave us this privilege and stewardship of words. So words matter, not just that you use them. It's a problem when you won't speak. We're going to dig into that in the future in a show. But when you do speak, it matters not just content. What did you say? But who? How did you say it?
Mm-hmm.
Tone, facial expression, body language. So often, I've told you, I assume that people in counseling that are meeting with me are on their best behavior. But oh, there are times, even sometimes I get asked to counsel when I'm at another conference. Hey, would you be willing to meet? And I might have back-to-back meetings with different people. And I'll never forget one time that while I was meeting with a couple, I could hear the next couple outside the door, and she just continued to say to her husband, Bob, Bob, Bob. I mean, I couldn't hear it. You know, it was funny. It was kind of like, Bob, and then Bob, but the Bob was coming through loud and clear, and it was so harsh. It was, I don't even know what this woman looks like. I haven't seen her face yet. I don't know what they're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But believe you me, I knew with the tone of how she said his name, it's dismissive, it's derogatory, it's mm-hmm. I think little of you. The way I say it is she was talking to him like he's a chihuahua.
Mm.
Like, Bob, Bob. And so as we got going, there were more than one issue.
We shouldn't even talk to our chihuahua that way.
No.
If you have one.
Probably most people do treat their dogs better than us. Dogs don't deserve being talked like that. Why are you talking to little Bob that way? But, ooh, I brought it to her. And I said, you probably don't realize it, but I could hear you through the door while you were waiting for a chance to meet with me, and this is how you spoke to him. Bob! Bob!
Mm.
And to her credit, she softened and she looked at me, and I'll never forget, she said, oh, I should work on my tone?
Mm.
I said, yes, please. Please.
At least she was honest.
Oh,
she owned it. That was the first start.
And here's what, I know I've told it to you before, but I'll say it again because it's my favorite example of it. It can be you and you don't know it. It can be you. It can be me. I'm a preacher, so I teach, I preach, and it matters not just that I'm saying things from the Bible, but how. And there was a guy in our church that emailed me and said, Brad, on Sunday, you sounded angry. The whole message, you just sounded angry. And I was like, what? I wasn't angry. I was preaching on grace. I was preaching on the Father. And the prodigal son coming home.
He was pretty excited.
It was like, oh. And I say to Vicky, we love to get, you know, comfort and consolation from our spouse.
Yeah, we always catch up on Sunday afternoons.
She's supposed to side with me and say, oh, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard. I was like, oh, wow. So-and-so emailed me and said on Sunday, he said I sounded angry. And we're doing what we just told you not supposed to do. I'm talking to her and she's in the next room. I'm in the bathroom. She's in the master bedroom. And there was just silence. So I stick my head outside the doorway of the bathroom, and she's sitting on the love seat in there. She's got a funny little look on her face. She's like, well, I wasn't going to say anything because it wasn't that big of a deal. But yeah, I thought you sounded angry too. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my word. Oh, it's going to get better. I flipped open my laptop after supper, pulled up the sermon, started it. I'm watching me. And I was like, he sounds angry. So understand that this is important.
Which,
and you
weren't
might be
angry.
Blind. I wasn't.
You were just trying. We learned later he was trying to get through too much material.
Well, I was going to go there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to settle in for a moment and say,
right.
Just because you're convinced you weren't whatever mm-hmm. someone's saying doesn't mean it didn't sound
true.
That way. And so I love to say in counseling also, perception is reality.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. You can keep saying all day long, well, I wasn't angry. Mm-hmm. I wasn't angry.
Because you really weren't.
It doesn't matter. You sounded angry. Mm-hmm. So very often we can sound whatever. Anger's not
right.
the only one. And so I just sat and thought, why do I sound angry? And I determined it's when I have too much material and I'm hurrying. I'm in a hurry. I've got to get through this. It doesn't sound as gentle. There's not as much spacing and pacing. You know, different times people say, oh, your pacing was much better. It's for something to sound gentle and kind, it's a little slower with some breaks. So rapid fire words moving at a
That's
hurried
a great point.
Pace
yeah.
often sound angry. And so often consider, have you allowed enough time for this conversation with your spouse?
Right.
Because if you're in a hurry, you might sound angry and you don't even mean to. You didn't mean for your tone to
be
angry.
And I really appreciate you adjusted and you do use more pacing.
Yeah.
You cut out. I think you had like seven pages.
So that
pages,
was the point at which I decided
pages,
I'm going
right.
from 8 pages to 6 pages because I do a manuscript. And I wrote him back and I said, thank you. I said, wow, I did not know this. And this has helped me. That was
And it was helpful.
That was 15 years ago, guys. And I still have that email in my prayer journal. And I think it's helped me to preach better. But I didn't know that I sounded angry.
Right.
You might not know how you're sounding to your spouse.
Well, I think too, this is like, we have a home security system, Simply Safe. And
love it.
Love it. I could do commercials for it. So I did all this research.
And my sweet wife set it up.
This
hung
is my
all
area.
The little sensors.
I did have a little help.
Understands it. Oh, because I don't.
But, so we have Simply Safe. So in the morning, when I stagger out, we have a big freezer
in
our garage. And I mean, the ice store around here has this saying on their ice bags, ice is food. Because I love great ice. I mean, you want your ice to be good. So sometimes I have Chick-fil-A ice, and then I have ice that's not quite as
crushed. The reason it's in the garage in the deep freezer is this is a ginormous bag of ice.
Yes.
It would not fit in our regular
I buy them at
freezer.
Chick-fil-A 6 bags at a time. That's the really nugget ice. But this is regular ice. So
she's in the Chick-fil-A line sometimes in her car just to get bags of nugget ice.
It's the best. And I remember every morning as I stagger out, if I don't, usually we have the alarm set when we're asleep, obviously. So if I just open that door to go out to the freezer to get my ice, it's going to start going beep, beep, beep. And I have 45 seconds to put the code in for the alarm, or then a siren will start.
Ooh.
And that has happened before.
Ooh.
So I think with this whole thing with tone, it would be better if we had a little beeper that all of a sudden is God sees, oh, she's ranting a little bit. A little beeper would stop and we would know if I keep going in this direction, an alarm's going to sound. And really that's what the Holy Spirit is we're in these conversations with our spouse, with a coworker, with our kids, with our teenagers. Oh my word. You really need the Holy Spirit as you talk to your teenagers through issues, because they're not necessarily going to do it right. And it's really hard. You don't want to ramp it up when they ramp it up. You've got to keep calm. But if we had a little beeper, that would be so good. But we really do have the Holy Spirit that can help us say, hey, whoa, wrong direction, time out, slow down, change your tone.
Better than a little beeper, you guys, if you're listening and you're a Christian, you have something way better than a little beeper.
Right.
You have a person. The Holy Spirit. But you have to form a habit of listening to him. He wants to help you.
He does.
And here's how I'd say it is you have to learn. I call it catch yourself. So whatever area you're wanting to get better at, say you're getting convicted about our conversation about tone. You're like, you know what? Tone is a problem for me. But you know what? Start with this. If you were sitting here saying, tone's not a problem for me, ask your spouse. Like, and that goes back to humility.
Right.
Be willing to say, you know what? I've never thought it's a problem, but maybe you've never wanted to say, do you think my tone is a problem? Mm-hmm. Does my tone indicate something different? Quite often, it's hard for you to hear what I'm saying, and you might hear an answer you don't expect.
Right.
And be willing to receive it like I did that email and say, well, all right, what is going on? What's behind that? Why is it that way? But you've got to learn to be willing to be helped by the Holy Spirit. And it's almost like, go back to the beep. I find that the more I lean into it and mm-hmm. yield and obey, the louder it gets. Next time, it's even louder and mm-hmm. I'm quicker to hear it. And when I obey and say, you're right, Lord, I don't want to say that right now. I want to bring it down.
He helps us.
I need to bring it down. Mm-hmm. I need to bring it down. As you yield and lean into his promptings, they will get louder.
But it's not burdensome.
No, it's a great joy.
And joyful.
It is so joyful to think and discover I can actually be different. Because
mm-hmm.
some of you are like, well, this
very
is just
freeing.
Who I am.
Yeah.
This is who I am. Hey, that's who Brad Bigney had been his whole life till he got married. And it's time to change. It's time to grow. It's time to become more like Jesus. Hey, we're going to take a break. And we're talking about communication, and it's more than just words. It's tone. And when we come back, we're going to talk about its touch and its actions. There's far more to communication than just words.
And we'll be back with more from Brad and Vicky in just a second. They're sharing about tone in communication, like how you can sound angry when you're actually not. And look, I hate to admit it, but I've got to be transparent. One of the most common questions I get from my wife, what's wrong with you? And my response, nothing. Why? And it's either tell that to your face or tell that to your tone. Look, I'm the world's worst about it, and that's exactly what Brad and Vicky are talking about today. The story that Brad told about sounding angry while preaching on grace, that should really reveal something to us. A lot of us miss this, but perception really is reality, especially in relationships. It doesn't matter if you weren't angry. If you sounded angry, then that's what your wife or your husband heard. This is a vital conversation. I'm so glad Brad and Vicky are talking about it. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one that goes through something. Yeah, you're not. This is the kind of content that we're producing every day here at Fortis Institute, and you can find that content right now at Fortis Plus, because Fortis Plus, that's our distribution hub. It contains hundreds of hours of content from people like Brad and Vicky, Dr. Greg Gifford, Dr. Adam Tyson, and Dr. John Krotz, Libby Glosson, and Todd Friel, and they're all creating content on stuff like marriage and parenting and communication. You're going to find all kinds of content that is beneficial and helpful for you and your life right now on Fortis Plus. It's absolutely free of charge as well. More on that in a second, but I gotta tell you how to get to it first. You get to it by downloading Fortis Plus, and you go to wherever you download apps on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org. Again, absolutely free. The app is free, and all the content contained within it is free as well. There's no levels of membership or anything like that. Nothing is behind a paywall. It is all absolutely free of charge. And the reason that it's free is because of people just like you, men and women who we call gospel partners, but these are men and women from all over the world, from all walks of life, who have been impacted by the content we're creating here at Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to stand with us so that more people in more places all over the world would also have access to this content. And maybe that is you. If you've heard something here at Fortis Institute that's impacted your life and you want more people in more places to also have access to the content we're creating, we would be honored to stand with you. All you have to do is go to fortisinstitute.org right now to find out exactly what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Now, let's get back to Brad and Vicky. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, we're back. And you're listening to Thrive. We're digging into what would help your marriage move from on life support. It's like we can barely even keep this thing alive. Each of us are wondering, how much longer can we do this? I remember thinking to myself, you probably did too, Vicky, I don't know that I can do this till Jesus comes.
Mm-hmm.
This is so hard and so discouraging, and so everything about it seemed to suck the life out of me instead of giving life. And now I can't imagine doing life without you, mm-hmm. without this marriage.
I feel the same way.
Yeah. It was meant to be a huge encouragement and support. So, hey, listen, if you're right there saying, I can't imagine my marriage being an encouragement, a life-giving thing. Oh, we have hope for you. But a huge part of it is, how do you use words with each other? How do you communicate? And oh, I hope you realize communication is always bigger than just the actual words. We talked about tone. And right before we went to a break, I talked about catch yourself. Whatever I'm trying to work on, I put it before the Lord. So like when it was the tone, all right, I don't want to sound angry. Well, you know, okay. And you just start saying, Lord, show me today. Help me today. So by catch yourself, I just simply mean you're ready when he says, right now, this is what we've been talking about. Don't say that. Bring it down. Bring your voice down. That's what I mean by catch yourself. And then that's my choice. You ask him to help you when he tries to help you. Do you do it?
Yeah, and I like in counseling.
Because you can just plow right across that little voice.
Right. In counseling, Brad uses this as an exercise for couples. When I've been counseling with him, he'll say, all right, now next week when you come, you work on these areas, whatever their areas are. Catch yourself that instead of doing what you normally would have done this week, three different times,
yeah.
write down exactly what you
I want you to come back by next Tuesday.
And did differently.
Give me three examples of where you were about to say what you always say.
Or do what you're
You were about to do what you always do. You were starting to think what you mm-hmm. always think.
Yeah.
And the Holy Spirit said
practical.
To you, no, this mm-hmm. is what we're working on. I hope you realize it's not just a certain camp of Christians that believe in the Holy Spirit. I hope you believe in the Holy Spirit because God's word talks a lot about it. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not be drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit, that means you're filled with his word and you listen to what he says. Mm-hmm. Galatians chapter 5 says, keep in step with the Spirit. I love that. It's a military verb. It meant just like people in the army have to literally stay in step with the leader. The Holy Spirit would love to lead you mm-hmm. in your marriage. Are
and it's
you
going
willing?
To go so much better.
Oh, but so often we are marching to our own drum.
Because we're stubborn.
And we think we've got to have it our way. Keep in step with the Spirit. So what would good communication look like? Well, it's words. It's listening. It's asking questions, it's tone, but oh, I hope you realize you can simply communicate with touch
mm-hmm.
and with actions. It says something
and
to your
spouse. And we're talking about non-sexual touch right here.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're going to talk about sexual touch
yeah.
later, but this is even just non-sexual touch
yeah.
really conveys something.
Yeah. I'll never forget early in our marriage, and I didn't realize it. I was glad Vicky didn't wait till she was super angry. She didn't come to me with the wrong tone. She didn't talk to me like I'd already been bad. She assumed I didn't know. So this is when we'd already started to practice what we've told you before. Honey, could I get your help on something? You can imagine as a pastor, we have tons of events, a cookout, a graduation party, a birthday party, a this, a that. We're constantly arriving in the same car at something. And then from the moment I step out of the car, it's just like, I'm engaged, engaged, engaged. And so she said to me, I know you probably don't realize it. I don't need you to stop and talk to me. But if you would, before the evening's over, would you just kind of make your way over towards me and just touch me on the lower back? Just touch me, connect.
That you know I'm here.
It would
and
be
I think,
reassuring
yeah.
that you know I'm here. Now, she doesn't want me grabbing her bottom. She
Please
doesn't
no.
want
But this was early on in our marriage.
Back.
And I think we were at a church where I didn't know many people.
I had no idea that that would be special to her.
And so I kind of felt out of place. I mean, now we're kind of on our, like, you know, we don't do that now. But initially, I just thought, where do I fit into his
yeah.
his life? So that was very helpful.
And she's not an insecure person.
No.
But, you know, unless you're a pastor or a pastor's wife, you wouldn't know what it's like. When we go to events, we feel so responsible. We're not just an ordinary person there. It's like, who looks lonely? Who looks like they're hurting? Who's new in our church? Where's someone who no one's talking to them?
Mm-hmm.
And so for Vicky, she's a very caring and merciful person. It was fairly overwhelming. She was giving, giving, giving. So I was glad. Remember, we've said before, don't assume your husband should know. Mm-hmm. She didn't just think, for crying out loud, he should know that he should come over and at least touch me on my back. She just very kindly, without being angry, said, and did I start doing it?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I'm like, she told me another time, one time, this has to do with communication. She said, and notice how these good, healthy communications start. She said, I know you probably aren't thinking about it and you weren't aware, but in small group, when other people talk, you look right at me, at them. But when I talk, you don't. You don't look at me while I talk. Huh. And that makes me feel like, do you not think what... And I had no idea, and I wasn't meaning to do that. Now, some of it, I got to be honest, she usually, at that time, she was sitting to my left.
It hurts his neck, folks.
Now, literally in our small group now, she sits across from me on the other side of the room.
I try to make it
easy. Very easy to do.
Yeah.
But I didn't know.
Yeah.
And so literally, I would just cock myself sideways in my chair and give her eye contact when she began to share something about the Bible passage or something mm-hmm. in small group. But she came to me and said, these are connection points that have to do with communication that's bigger than just words.
And I think also there's other ways of physical touch. Just if we're walking through Costco, to just grab each other's hand, hold hands as you walk through Costco. And once again, if you're pushing a cart, you can't do that. But it just shows, I know you're there. I'm glad you're by my side.
And even like, I don't know why, but one of my favorite things, she's done it twice recently because it's winter now for here where we live, is like she's just slipped her arm through the crook of my arm as we walk. I just love her arm slip through the crook of my arm as we walk. So, you know, just hold
hands.
I
think even like in the morning, like, or in the afternoon, whatever, if you're here, or sometimes if I'm at the sink washing dishes or, you know, loading the dishwasher, he'll just come up and wrap his arms around me from the back and say, I just love living here with you. I mean, that's, once again, that's physical touch. It's words, it's physical touch. That didn't cost any money. That's not a trip to Hawaii. That's not a new diamond ring or diamond earrings. That's just an acknowledgement of, wow, I see you. I know you're here. I'm putting my arms around you. That's
and even like
small.
In the course of, I don't go to the church office on Fridays. I preach my sermon aloud in my study here. And I have to get up and well, I don't have to, but I choose to. I like to drink tons of hot water. I'll just heat up a cup of hot water.
Very
and sip
strange.
It. But, you know, I drink one cup of coffee, and after that, I want more warm stuff to just sip, so I just sip hot water. Well, I got to keep going to the microwave and nuke another cup of hot water for 90 seconds. Well, often she's doing work in her chair in there, and I just, we don't have to stop and have a huge conversation, but I think, correct me if I'm wrong, it's rare that I would just walk by you. Usually, I'll just touch you right on the side of the neck, right below your ear, and I'll just kind of touch
or
it.
Gently rub
or
my
I'll
head.
Just kind of gently rub with my hand the back of your neck underneath your hairline as I walk by. You don't have to say anything, but you just, it's kind of like, I see you, I know you there. I remember, because I felt it, and the other thing, we're going to get to it in a future show, but it's not that critical that you always be talking about something hugely important. But it's just the fact that you just regularly talk and express what you're feeling and thinking. It was just a couple mornings ago, I was reading my Bible in my study, and she was reading her Bible in a chair by the fire in the living room. And I just heard the sound of her can of Zevia being set down on the end table. And I kid you not, it made me happy because I thought, I have a wife who's in there in her chair by the fire. I'm not alone. We weren't even in the same room. So I yelled, do you know how happy? I didn't get up. Probably should have got up. Violated all the rules of previous shows.
It was a great time.
Do you know how happy it makes me to just hear the sound of your can of Zevia being set down on the end table? I'm so glad I don't live here alone.
And that meant a lot to me.
And it didn't mean we had to stop. I still need to do my sermon. She still has lots that she needs to do.
And once again, these are small ways, but it's just letting the other person know, I see you. I'm glad I'm here with you.
Yeah.
That's meaningful.
We're talking about what could cause your marriage to begin to thrive instead of continually die and get more and more just choked out. Often, it's how we're using our stewardship of words. God made us word creatures that can communicate. But, You don't want to just do it any old way. It matters how you communicate, not just what you say, but your tone. And then communication is broader than words. Touch, acts of service, care, concern, connecting, and desiring to understand your spouse more than be understood, which means you listen.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.